Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
Shares of Netflix plummeted 35% today, what led to the streaming service's worst trading day since 2004.
There is a lot more competition for Netflix than when they first entered the space. It's funny, when Netflix came in, of course, they were the disruptor, and now they are being disrupted.
And how the Justice Department uncovered $150 million in alleged COVID-19 fraud. Plus, new research on pot and pets. It's Wednesday, April 20th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The head of the International Monetary Fund says Ukraine estimates that it needs $5 billion a month to keep essential government services running and its economy afloat. IMF Managing Director Kristalina Georgieva said at a news conference today that the estimate was conveyed by Ukraine's finance ministry officials ahead of meetings of the IMF and World Bank this week. Georgieva said the meetings are occurring at a consequential moment for the world.
We are facing a crisis upon a crisis, a war on top of a pandemic, and it's like being hit by another storm before we have recovered from the last one. What is the result? A massive setback for the global economy.
As we talked about on yesterday's show, the meetings come as the U.S. and its allies are trying to ramp up pressure on Russia over its invasion of Ukraine. Today, U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and her Ukrainian counterpart walked out of a meeting of the G20 group of nations when Russia's finance minister began speaking. That's according to a person familiar with the matter. The Justice Department says it's charged about 20 people with fraud related to the COVID-19 pandemic in the past 2 weeks. The alleged schemes range from overcharging for medical services to selling fake vaccination cards. Together, authorities say the alleged crimes amounted to $150 million in improper government claims, only a fraction of which have been repaid. Our Justice Department reporter Aruna Viswanatha says to uncover potential crimes, prosecutors and regulators reviewed troves of healthcare billing data looking for anomalies.
A common theme running through a lot of the cases seems to be this idea that, well, you have hundreds and thousands of patients coming in every week to healthcare centers around the country to get tested for COVID, which they're very concerned about. They want to talk to medical professionals about, they want to get tested, but those are not very high paying procedures. And so you see in a lot of these cases, you have healthcare providers who want to lure in some of those customers, but then tack on a lot of other procedures that are not really necessary or that they didn't even do, but then try to submit those bills to Medicare and get those paid out while they're also getting paid for running these COVID tests.
New data shows the average price for a home in the U.S. reached a new record high of just over $375,000 last month, amid a continued shortage of homes for sale. The National Association of Realtors says the number of existing home sales fell 2.7% in March from the prior month. Mortgage interest rates have shot up since the start of the year, raising the cost of monthly payments for home buyers and pricing some out of the market. Florida's Republican-led Senate has passed a bill that would eliminate Disney's special tax district. As we reported this morning, Disney's being targeted by Florida's GOP lawmakers and Governor Ron DeSantis over its opposition to a state law that restricts classroom instruction on gender and sexuality, what opponents call "Don't Say Gay." The GOP-led House is expected to pass the tax measure tomorrow, and DeSantis has made clear he would sign it. Disney declined to comment. And Tesla has reported a record quarterly profit of just over $3.3 billion, with sales jumping roughly 80%. The EV maker has been charging more for its cars amid high inflation, but it's also facing persistent supply chain bottlenecks, including a shutdown at its Shanghai factory due to China's strict COVID-19 measures. The closure reduced the company's output by around 90,000 vehicles and is expected to take a bigger toll in the second quarter. Coming up, are you still watching? After a disappointing earnings report and a rough day on Wall Street, what's next for Netflix? More after the break.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. By empowering the brightest minds, GE Aerospace is reimagining engine design and advanced aircraft systems, developing hybrid electric engines and technologies compatible with alternative fuels like sustainable aviation fuel. GE Aerospace strives every day to invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.
Netflix shares lost more than a third of their value today after a disappointing earnings report. The streaming giant, which had expected to add subscribers in the first quarter, instead reported 200,000 fewer. Shares ended the day down 35%, Netflix's worst trading day in more than 17 years. It was a remarkable fall for the world's largest streaming service, which is struggling amid growing competition as the streaming space gets more crowded. So, what does all this mean for Netflix's business and its users? Joining me now with more on this is Wall Street Journal media reporter Joe Flint. Hi, Joe. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Joe, let's talk about those subscriber numbers. How big of a surprise was this? What do the numbers tell us?
Well, Netflix certainly didn't forecast that it would actually lose subscribers for the first time in more than a decade. They ended up losing 200,000 subscribers, and they forecast a likely loss of another 2.5 million in the second quarter, which is the quarter we are in right now. So all of that certainly took Wall Street by surprise. From reading the Netflix investors letter, it seemed that it took them by surprise as well.
So let's talk about some of the biggest challenges Netflix is facing right now. Is this all due to greater competition in the streaming space?
There is a lot more competition for Netflix than when they first entered the space. It's funny, when Netflix came in, of course, they were the disruptor. And now they are being disrupted. They are mature in a business that they basically birthed. So that is a new challenge for them. They have a tremendous head start still. They have over 220 million subscribers. But that said, you've got Disney, HBO Max, Apple, Amazon. These are deep-pocketed competitors, and a few of them have been in the entertainment space for, you know, more than a century. And this will be a new challenge for Netflix. And in addition, it's not just the competition. In the United States, Netflix raised their prices. And I think that had an effect. Netflix tends to be dismissive of that. And they say, no, our churn wasn't because of the price increase. But from the emails I get from readers and what I see on social media, and given what's happening with the economy right now, I can't totally discount the idea that increasing the prices had an effect on their numbers.
Another issue the company has flagged is password sharing, which is a challenge for most streaming services. But to what extent do you think password sharing is impacting Netflix's business right now?
Well, it's interesting. You know, for about a decade, Netflix has, if not embraced password sharing, pretty much looked the other way. They saw it as a cost of doing business. It was helping get their content in front of more people. It was not seen as some sort of evil that had to be stopped. Now, obviously, the thinking there has changed because as their growth is slowing, they see the password sharing problem as another factor in that. And what they said yesterday, which was very revealing, you know, they said of those 222 million paying households, they believe that the passwords are being shared with an additional 100 million households, including 30 million in the U.S. and Canada. That's a pretty significant chunk of password sharing. So I think what Netflix wants to do now is to figure out a way to offer a lower priced multi-home, multi-people subscription package that will discourage password sharing because, yeah, the next step will, of course, be just to cut it off. I mean, they can do that easily enough. So I think their hope is they can actually make lemonade out of lemons by offering this new package, which they have not really gone into great detail about, but they're experimenting with it in Chile, Costa Rica, and Peru, where basically for an additional few bucks, you can extend your password to select members of your family or friends who don't live in the home.
Another big proposal proposal Netflix is considering is potentially making this an ad-based model. That would be quite a change for the company that made its name on being commercial-free. What would a change like that mean for the company and consumers?
Well, for the company, as you said, this is a huge about face. Reed Hastings, the co-founder, chairman of Netflix, has been very adamant about the ad-free experience. He said, you know, it's crucial for our subscribers, it's crucial for our creators, this is what they want. As recently as 2 years ago, he said he wanted Netflix to be a, quote, safe respite where you can explore, get stimulated, have fun, enjoy, relax, and have none of the controversy around exploiting users with advertising. Obviously, now he's singing a slightly different tune. On the earnings call, he said he hadn't really changed his thought about advertising, but this is about giving our consumers choice to have a lower-priced option. They're doing what they think they need to do. Disney announced an advertising-supported version of Disney Plus a while back. So this is where the world's headed. We weren't going to get to live in a non-commercial streaming universe forever, but it marks a huge shift for them, and it'll be interesting to see how successful it is.
And what do Netflix's latest results mean for its streaming rivals, who I imagine to some extent are dealing with similar challenges here?
Certainly, Netflix being the first in is seen as the barometer for the health of the streaming industry. So I think a lot of analysts look at what Netflix did and then try to project that onto other companies. I'm not sure if that's necessarily 100% the way to do this. Certainly all these companies are going to be facing challenges going forward. Streaming is not a cheap business. You're spending a lot on programming. You're starting a new direct-to-consumer platform. It is the way people want to receive their content for sure. But as an economic model, it's yet to really show that it is more financially viable than the old way of cable networks, broadcast networks, advertising, subscription fees, a universal reach. But the world is changing and these companies are trying to shift with it. And they will all face these sort of hurdles and have to rethink how much they can invest in programming. What's the best way to incorporate advertising? What's the best way to use technology and algorithms to make sure our content is getting seen and sampled? This is another issue, just to veer off course. Netflix makes a ton of programming. Some would argue maybe they make too much and they throw stuff out there and it has a very short window to succeed. And if it doesn't, it's gone. And from a business standpoint, that's something else they have to look at, just the way they make their content.
That's Wall Street Journal media reporter Joe Flint. Joe, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, marijuana use is rising as it becomes legal in more parts of the U.S. And now a growing body of research is emerging showing some of the unexpected health effects of pot. And not just for users, but for other people and even pets nearby. Our health and science reporter, Renee Onkwe, explains some of the studies.
There's a lot of research about secondhand tobacco smoke and its effects, but there isn't much about the effects of secondhand marijuana smoke. And so I think that's what the researchers were really looking at. But there was also an interesting study that showed that more pets were getting to like their owners' edible versions of cannabis products as well, which caused a rise in cannabis poisonings within pets. Also, there was a study that was examining the effects of secondhand smoke from cannabis in attached housing units, and the effects were affecting children as young as several months old. Although we don't really know the health effects of those things, we do know that it was within their system at least.
Some doctors say the medical benefits of cannabis use may outweigh potential risks. Research is ongoing. And that's what's news for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
Planes powered by GE Aerospace Technology take off every 2 seconds, and nearly 3 billion people flew last year with our technology under wing. As a new independently traded company on the New York Stock Exchange, our purpose remains: invent the future of flight, lift people up, and bring them home safely.